And now we will turn it over to our resolutions. Let's have a door prize while Robert gets ready. And so...
here you are.
Money and a toy.
Thank you.
Yes.
Judy wants to draw. Yep.
Chew toy from Guide Dogs of the Desert, $25 from CCCLV.
James Van Esseltine.
Wow, there's an interesting name. James Van Esseltine. Sounds very Dutch. Probably went back to Amsterdam.
Keith Tomlinson.
Keith Tomlinson, I doubt if he's still here.
Patricia Davis.
Patty, are you here?
All
right. Very good. Okay. Robert, are you ready yet?
Yeah, I need Ed to hold the mic, I think.
That's okay. We can...
I need you to hold the mic because I have to look close down here.
Or mine.
Okay. Or yours.
Yeah.
Here's mine.
Oh, jeans. Give them to me. I got jeans.
No.
Okay, can you hear me? I really like these better anyway.
These are great.
I don't like the swing mics.
You can actually read while you're holding this mic.
Yes.
By the way, if you need me to read anything, I'll send you a report.
Test. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. My outdoor voice. Okay, we have a few resolutions. It won't be too painful. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with these. Resolution 2015, the number one, accommodations of federal employees who are blind or have low vision. Whereas, since Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, yes,
there.
Has been the lead agency that is charged with providing guidance and subsequent approval of all federal compliance with Executive Order 13164 that requires each agency to have its own EEOC-approved written procedure for individuals with disabilities to request reasonable accommodations. Hang on a second. Let's hope we're not having problems again. Oh, sorry. I turned my mouse off. Whereas since Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has been the... Okay. Sorry. Whereas a review of EEOC's internal document entitled Procedures for Providing Reasonable Accommodations for Individuals with Disabilities omits any mention of assistive technology accommodations, including but not limited to screen reader and magnification software and
system compatibility.
And system compatibility.
No.
I'm sorry.
Including but not limited to
system compatibility, screen reader, and magnification software. Whereas EEOC's failure to provide guidance to federal agencies on assistive technology accommodations has ultimately resulted in federal employees who are blind or have low vision being unable to perform their job duties. And whereas the absence of reasonable accommodations brought about by this failure results in denial of jobs, including promotional opportunities, and even the firing of employees with visual impairments. And, let's see, and therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this fourth day of October 2015, at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in the city of Woodland Hills, that the organization contact the director and members of the EEOC and demand,
insist,
that the committee include within the aforementioned document guidance on assistive technology accommodations for federal employees who are blind or have low vision, and be it further resolved, this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind, the ACB, action at its conference in 2016 conference and convention. The committee urges a due pass, pardon me.
Where do I go now?
Okay.
I'm the first time person.
Is the maker of this, the drafter of this resolution, Karen Memmer, in the room? Okay, she's not. So let me explain briefly what this resolution indicates, and that is that the internal documents that EEOC uses to give guidance to all federal agencies on employees with disabilities fails to include any discussion of reasonable accommodations for persons who are blind. It does get specific in other areas, but for us it has nothing in it. And the maker, the proponent of this resolution, would like to see that correction, that document corrected.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I heard Mitch first and Judy second.
Is it? You need a mic for comment?
We'll get you a mic.
Are you commenting? Oh, over here. Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to ask the maker of the resolution, or the author, and depending on the answer, I may or may not have a follow-up.
The maker isn't here, so.
Well,
but I will answer it if I can.
Well, we still would like to know, I think, Jeff, who it is.
Who is the maker?
Karen Memmer.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. I know who Karen is. I don't know if she's worked for EEOC. I would have liked for the committee, once you got the resolution, to make an effort to reach a fellow who was a staff attorney for EEOC for many years and would be able to tell you absolutely whether, in fact, the information provided by the author was correct.
She's worked with Chris and worked with Melanie
okay.
and worked with me.
All right.
And work with other attorneys that were formerly in the EEOC. Karen has done her
okay,
homework.
Okay, because I rely
to an obsessive degree. I might.
Yeah, during you know my time as ACB president, I relied heavily on Chris. He's forgotten more about what EEOC does and what it's written than most everybody's remembered. So,
yes.
If in fact that's been confirmed with him, then I'm just fine with this.
Okay, hearing no... Oh, no, Judy, sorry.
My question was answered, Mr. President.
Okay. Hearing no more discussion, all those in favor... Yes? Is that Dirk?
Yes.
Okay.
And nitpicking, I'd just like to change the word firing, which is really a colloquial term, to termination of employment.
Okay, Robert, do you want to...
So we want to change the language to termination as opposed to firing?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a friendly amendment, Robert, as you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Any further discussion?
I'm learning.
If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Okay. Back to you, Robert.
Resolution 15.2, holographic wills. Whereas California law authorizes holographic wills, and whereas a holographic will, in order to be valid, must be totally handwritten by the testator, and whereas most people who are legally blind are unable to write either in script or individual letters, and whereas these individuals cannot afford to hire an attorney to prepare a will on their testamentary documents. Therefore, be it resolved that the California Council of the Blind, in convention assembled this fourth day of October 2015 at the Hilton Woodland Hills, Los Angeles Hotel in Woodland Hills, California, seek the enactment of a statute which would allow a person who is legally blind to prepare a valid, unwitnessed will in a form other than handwritten form, and be it further resolved that the statute contain the following additional requirements. One, in order to ensure that the will is actually prepared by the person who is legally blind, the signature of the person must be notarized. Two, the will shall be accompanied by certification from a California licensed physician that the testator is legally blind. That's it. I think we urge it to pass.
Okay, there's a motion to adopt the resolution. Is there discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to recognize Charles first as the proponent of the resolution.
This issue came up to me when a friend of mine who lives in Northern California recently asked me to prepare a will for her. Having not prepared wills for over 25 years, I said I didn't feel comfortable in doing that and suggested to her that she write a will because she doesn't have any real property and wanted to make sure that her personal property is distributed in the way that she would like. Despite having a college degree, this person, and being a high partial, this person informed me that she does not know how or cannot handwrite any documents. So, in California, a holographic will is intended to be a way for a person to make a simple will without having to pay for an attorney. And in many cases, people without real property can express their wishes as to how their personal property will be distributed after they pass away. And so I think that, and the reason I propose this resolution is because, as it says in the resolution, most legally blind people cannot make handwritten documents, and because of the high unemployment rate, most legally blind people cannot afford to have an attorney prepare their will. So I think that this resolution would begin the process of making holographic wills, so to speak, available to blind people as they are to people with vision.
Okay. Yes, the lady, I heard the lady first.
Christy.
Hi, I just have a grammatical problem with using this word form twice in the same sentence.
Even
at the beginning, it says something about form and handwritten form. I just want to get that language changed. Just say in handwriting.
Totally handwritten by the.
You could look at it.
Authorized holographic will. I'm trying to find it, Chrissy.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah,
massage that when we have it come back to us.
Just take form out of there twice.
Yeah. There's two forms in that clause. It may be better just to change the word, the first form to format.
Yeah.
And then we can leave handwritten form the way it is, either way. But thank you, Christy, for pointing that out. No, the gentleman was first and Margie is second.
Yes, Steve.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. While I very much appreciate the intention behind the resolution, I fear it may have some unintended consequences which we at least ought to consider before voting for it. First of all, there are many people in California who for various reasons are unable to handwrite. And presumably all of those face the same issues. So by creating a law which creates a special form of will for people with visual impairments, we would necessarily and logically be opening the door to similar requests, equally bona fide and equally justified for many other groups. It would end up creating a much more complicated succession of testatory processes for people with small estates. Second of all, we would not solve the economic problem because to the extent that health insurance would not cover the cost of the physician's visit or certification, that would be charged for, and there would be some nominal charge for the notary services as well. So people of extremely limited means might not even be able to avail themselves of the benefits if they wanted to. So those are my two reasons for suggesting we might give this matter more study, notwithstanding its obviously laudatory intentions.
Okay, Margie.
Could you please, Robert, read the "be it resolved" again?
The whole thing?
Just the resolve.
Just the resolve clause.
Okay, just the resolve clause.
Leave out the Woodland Hills and all that.
Okay. I can do.
Start
that.
With this organization. Seek.
I can do that. California. Seek the enactment of a statute which would allow a person who is legally blind to prepare a valid, unwitnessed will in a format other than handwritten form.
It's all
you
right.
Want me to keep?
Okay.
Christy, that's what you were looking for?
Yeah. And it's all right. One chain. You got one of them changed. Format.
Okay.
Yes.
Am I doing the be it further? I thought I was just doing the resolve. Both of the resolve.
That's what Margie asked.
No. Is that all you wanted, Margie, or you want the rest of it?
It's another resolve, Robert.
Okay, read the other requirements.
Yeah, there was. She asked for one. Yeah. Be it further resolved that the statute contained the following additional requirements. One, in order to ensure that the will is actually prepared by the person who is legally blind, the signature of the person be notarized. Two, the will shall be accompanied by a certification from a California licensed physician that testator is legally blind.
Okay. It was a gentleman, I believe. Okay, Dirk?
You have another gentleman also.
Okay, the other gentleman may have been first, actually, Dirk, so let's...
William Elliott, I'm wondering, is this will going to be in, like, printed format, or would it open the doors for people to do, like, video, things like that? So if you prepare it on, like, Word using Dragon, would that be the only acceptable type of will?
Okay. So do we need the word written format? So that it is, because I don't think the goal is to get it in video form. No, I don't think we were even going to contemplate Braille necessarily, but that's...
But it,
Yeah, it does. It basically says.
But it does imply that, so.
It doesn't say any format.
I'm sure he will.
Written. Print.
Do we want print or do we want written, everyone? What's the.
Print.
Or maybe we should ask the drafter. Okay, so currently it's just going to be written format.
Right. And it's, you know, it's, I think that it would be difficult to specify the format that it would be in. And I think we all recognize that having it in Braille would create some problems. because although courts could bring in someone to read the Braille, and that would be acceptable too. But I think leaving it. Generalized like it is now is the best policy, and I think that the legislature would have some feelings or opinions on that also.
Okay, so the drafter has asked that we include the word written before the word format. Okay.
Where at?
Oh. Dirk and Margie.
Evidence is written or oral. Why can't we have an oral will where we recite it into a tape or into an internet communication?
Okay, well, the drafter has not accepted that, so unless you're proposing an amendment, that's really not in order.
Well, then I am proposing an amendment that a will be... an oral will be available to blind and low vision people.
Okay, so he wants to propose adding the words or oral before the word format. Is there a second? There's no second, so your amendment, your motion dies for lack of a second. Margie was next.
So as I understand this resolution, currently... we are required to handwrite our wills?
No, but the law allows handwritten wills.
Okay. So what's the purpose of written versus typed, which is what we would do?
Because you cannot, unless it's in proper form, in witnessed, you can't type it out and then submit it. You have to have the proper witnesses to it.
No, I understand that. I understand that, you know, the second two portions, the verification of the doctor and the...
go ahead.
I'm just a little confused of what... I'm not understanding the first part of this resolution and then the resolve about written, because written... So I guess I'm not understanding.
Not handwritten.
Yeah, it says written format, other than handwritten. So I guess that would be the answer to that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yes. Heard the gentleman over there.
Frank has his hand up.
I propose an amendment to the second resolve clause in which we strike provision number 2 regarding the medical certification, and we remove the reference to visual impairment and remove the number 1 from the remainder of the clause. This would therefore essentially allow anybody to prepare a non-handwritten holographic will with the provision that it be properly notarized.
Okay, so Frank's amendment, hold on before the word, Frank's amendment would provide for a statute whereby anyone could prepare a, it would essentially expand the definition of holographic will to include any format, any written format, but you'd have to have it notarized, other than in the handwritten one, of course. Okay, is there a second to that? Okay, we have debate on the amendment. Let's recognize a pro and then a con.
Steve.
I think Steve's a con, I think.
Okay.
Steve's contrary to almost everything, as we know.
But somebody was ahead of Frank, I think. Maybe you're somebody else.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank, since it's your amendment. Please be brief, everyone. We are trying to get out of here this morning.
The fact that I'm preparing to speak in opposition to a Harvard-trained attorney is suggests that I have more more zeal than sense. But having said that, I think that this entire resolution raises the issue of the relevance of only accepting a handwritten holographic will in a digital age. And as has been stated before, only saying that a non-handwritten holographic will be permitted for people who are visually impaired raises the question of why other people who are print impaired are not given the same access opportunity. Given that one can seriously question whether handwriting is the only legitimate way of producing a self-verifying document, which is the point of allowing a handwritten holographic will in our digital age, I think that it would be appropriate that rather than simply seeking a piece of legislation that addresses the issue in the behalf of the blind, that we do so that addresses the entire issue.
All right. Thank you. Steve.
I very much appreciate Frank's effort, which I take the amendment to be, to respond to the concern about special pleading, so to speak, that I raised. And I fear that, unfortunately, the amendment would doom the bill to defeat. It's not within the purview of CCB to reform the entire wills and trust and estates law of California. It just can't be done.
Okay. A pro. I have someone who's in favor of the amendment.
I have two hands up.
Okay.
There was a lady over on the right, Jack.
Let's go with the lady. If you're in favor.
But there was one on the right.
Well, I think the benefit of Frank's amendment is the fact it would be much more likely to pass through the legislature if we have a lot of support. And if you're only going for blind people, I think you might not get as much support to get this into legislation.
Okay. Do we have an opposition to the amendment?
Kathy, are you in opposition? The other speaker is a pro.
Okay, we have no more speakers opposed. If you are in favor and you have anything new to say, we will recognize you. Okay, we have a call for the question. All those in favor of the amendment.
She had something to say.
She did. I mean, let her.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker.
I'm sorry, Kathy.
And I am in favor of this amendment because I do believe that by coming into the 21st century, taking into consideration the digital aspect of the era that we're in and the needs of not only people who are blind and visually impaired, but also those that have print-related disabilities in general, it's more of an equitable way of addressing it. And yes, it may not be in the purview of CCB. However, if we do not, as an organization, demonstrate an effort and an interest in this topic, then who would? And it may not pass this time around, but it could gain more momentum and interest by others that really, as we talk about change in CCB, I think we also need to think about our positioning and who we are and what we want for not only people who are blind and visually impaired, but for all individuals within the community.
Okay. There's been a call for the question.
There's a comment, Con.
All right, we'll have one more, and this is going to be it, because there has been a call for the question.
Like many laws, because our system of laws is based on common law as developed by in England and in the British system, the wills and trust provisions are pretty much archaic in nature, and they've been set in stone for hundreds of years. So I think if you want to adopt this amendment, would be challenging this whole system that is tradition-bound and set in stone and unlikely to pass.
Okay, so I would only comment that if anybody says that CCB doesn't have discussions of historic import, they are not, I don't know what they're talking about. Okay, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
I believe the ayes have it. And so, if people want a roll call, we need 25, and I'm not.
No, we're not going to. No.
I don't see. If there were 25 people standing up for a roll call, then we have to have one. But I heard it was close, but I heard more ayes than noes, so that's what I'm saying.
We're standing.
Okay, Ed, you have to count them.
Okay, I have five people standing, six people standing. Seven
right.
People standing, eight people, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
All right. We do not have a sufficient number, so there will be no roll call. So now we have the initial, we're on the resolution as amended. I know now the we know different people's positions. So if you have anything new to say, please do so. We now have a new resolution that basically says that we are going to seek the enactment of a statute whereby anyone with a notarized signature could do a will in other written formats. You can call it that if you want, but the holographic will is handwritten, then this would be other types of unwitnessed wills, but which would require a notary. Okay. I'll take a pro first and a opposed second, please. If you have anything new to say.
Donna Sanchez.
Donna, you have a question, yes.
Did it say in this that we were going to send it to ACB? I don't remember.
No, this would not go to ACB. This is strictly California.
Okay.
At least it doesn't say that now. William, are you in favor of this?
She's got a question.
You got a question? Okay, sorry.
William Elliott, I've a question for the maker of the amendment. Do you feel that this significantly changes the original purpose enough to make it now invalid as a proposal.
That would really be addressed to me as the chair.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And I thought about it, but it is a close question. But given the fact that it is intended to allow blind people this flexibility by virtue of the manner that the maker feels is most easily able to be passed, I would say that I would rule, and the body can overrule me with a 3/4 vote, but I would rule that, or 2/3 vote, I think. Sorry about that, 2/3. I would rule that it is germane and it is in order.
Do you want somebody in favor of it?
No. Yes, in favor. But please make it new points that haven't been expressed before. I would urge that.
My point is that there is something available to people who have a certain type of access, which is the print, and or to be able to do it themselves, to handwrite. And there are a lot of people who are excluded. And I think that it's unfair to exclude people for something of this importance.
Okay. Do we have an opposition? Well, we have several. I don't know who was first. Yeah, I think Steve was first. I heard Charles in there, I think.
And Mitch.
And Mitch, I heard Mitch too. So Steve, go first, and then we'll take a pro if there is one.
Mr. President, while I recognize and certainly subscribe to Charles's points about the tradition-bound, not to say the ossified nature of trust and estates law in this state, I think we actually run the risk, first of all, of making ourselves look rather ridiculous by proposing such a monumental change in historic state law with so little study and with so little expertise in the matter. And secondly, we run the risk of incurring the opposition of people who in other areas ought to be our friends. The possibilities for abuse here are incredible. You only need to think about the possibilities that if a person has the will written by someone else and only signed by them, what is the guarantee that what the person is signing is what they think they're signing? What is the guarantee of their mental capacity? What is the guarantee of any number of other possible things that could go wrong? You're going to have opposition here, united opposition from the legal profession, not merely on the ground of its fear for loss of revenue, but on other grounds as well. You're going to have opposition from the medical profession because doctors will be afraid of liability. You're going to have opposition from the medical profession because doctors will be afraid of liability in case of fraudulent conveyances. And I can name a number of other disability groups.
Okay, Steve,
those,
15 seconds, please.
Other disability groups, including those who oppose, for example, recently opposed the Right to Die legislation, who would oppose this on comparable grounds.
Thank you. A pro, and then I'm going to make a comment before anyone else. There are no pros. So in that case, I actually... we'll take a little presidential prerogative and make a comment. I appreciate what the advocates such as Frank and Kathy are saying, but it would be extremely difficult and put your leaders and your advocate, which may well be me and Mitch, in a very difficult position to try to reform the, you know, wills and estates law from the perspective of our little tiny area of turf. I would like to say otherwise, and I would like to think that we would be able to use our time wisely in this area, but I think we would be sort of ignored. And I'll recognize a pro because I'm making a comment, but I just think that we would be unable to use our time wisely if this were taken up, and that's a sad state of affairs, but it's the case. And yes, I'll recognize you as a proponent. Christy, I will recognize you. Yes. Mitch, I recognize that.
So who are you recognizing?
Christy.
People do seem to say their name. I would like to propose that we take this resolution under consideration and table it for now and put it under some kind of a committee or some kind of a re-advisement. And because what we're trying to say, and I really like what we're trying to say, and I think we all have, understanding of this, but the legalities and what Steve was saying, kind of poses some questions. But yet, I want to be able to write my will if I need to, without having to use, spend $800,000 okay. for an attorney.
Christy, the motion to table is non-debatable. I've given you some flexibility. Okay. So if you want to make the motion, do it.
Okay. So I move that we table this. And
is there a second? There is a motion and a second. All those that is non-debatable. But there is a point of order raised. Okay, Frank states a point of order. And Mitch can have one as well. Frank, go ahead, Mitch, second.
I believe the table motion is out of order on two grounds. First of all, I believe the intent of the motion is to kill this discussion, which is counter to the purpose of such resolutions.
Go ahead, let him state his point.
On technical grounds, it should be, I want to clarify that the table motion is one that is almost universally abused, which is that the table motion calls for a motion to be placed on what's called the table, whereupon it may not be discussed until there is a future motion to remove it from the table. In other words, and generally speaking, the preferable motion is a motion to defer, either until a definite time or an indefinite time.
Hold on. I'm going to rule against your point of order. The custom and usage in this organization is such that we don't strictly follow that type of Robert's rules. I think the intent here is that this be brought up in the future, and I'm going to recognize that intent and reject your point of order. Mitch is next with his point of order.
What we do need to do with this motion to table is to establish a time certain for it to be brought back, and if the maker would agree, then I would suggest this motion be brought back to the convention, or the resolution be brought back to the convention at the April 2016 conference and convention.
Okay, that motion has been given a friendly amendment, so that there is now a motion. It's undebatable unless we have a point of order. Are you rising to a point of order? Then you are not recognized. Sorry, Margie, you can't. Are you rising to a point of order? If the answer is yes, then you're recognized. I'm sorry, what did you say? Yes, okay, go ahead.
I'm not sure if, can I make a friendly amendment to table or add another part? Which would be to refer it to the legislative committee for review?
That is not a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
I mean, it's not an amendment to the table motion. It would be a different motion. Different motion, Margie. I'm not necessarily saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying it's not a motion to table. It's a motion to, refer, which is a different type of motion. This motion is non-debatable and has to be voted on first. Okay. All those in favor of the motion to table until the next convention, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The motion is carried. Okay. that resolution has been tabled. Margie, to what do you rise? Okay, I'll see if it's in order or not. Go ahead.
Same thing I was asking a minute ago. The resolution that was just tabled, I'd like to move that that be reviewed by the legislative committee and a report be brought back. Well, we already got the timeline, but the committee to do that is a resolution. Okay. Sorry, legislative.
Hold on. So you're referring to the Governmental Affairs Committee?
Yes.
Okay. Your own committee.
No, okay. It's not mine. I'm
no,
on it.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. Okay. I think that resolution is in order. You know, it's a little unusual given that it's after the table, but I don't have a problem with it. Yes, Mitch, is this a point of order or a pro or a con or whatever? Yeah, it was already seconded. Okay. Okay.
It's not pro or con.
Yes. Yes, go ahead, Mitch.
As chairperson for governmental affairs, I want to let everybody know what I'm going to do. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a dropout from law school. The two attorneys on the governmental affairs committee are two gentlemen you've heard from on this issue, Charles Navarrete and Stephen Mendelson. So I want everybody to know, unless the prez overrules me, that whatever comes out of governmental affairs is going to come from the two attorneys, because they're the ones who know the arcana of this branch of law, and it will be their opinion, their joint opinion, that will come to you in April.
So there you go. All right, we have a motion on the floor. Does anybody want to speak in favor of the motion? Please, briefly. Anybody want to speak in opposition to the motion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion to refer to this for the this tabled resolution for the review of the Governmental Affairs Committee, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
It has passed. So, Governmental Affairs, you have another task ahead of you. All right, so we now have our non-substantive resolutions. I'm going to turn it back over to Robert.
Okay, am I on? Yep, I'm on. Okay, so resolution 2015-3 has been pulled back by the author. Pardon me, tabled by the author.
Withdrawn.
Ah.
They're talking
withdrawn
about
by the author. So what do I do now? I'm sorry, Jeff.
Jeff.
The hospitality
what?
Ones.
Okay, what does he do?
What do I do now?
It's withdrawn.
It's withdrawn.
And then you go on to the next one.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. We've got two more, and we will be done. Okay, so this is our resolution for the volunteers. Whereas without the outstanding efforts of the volunteers at the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention, the event would not have been such an outstanding success. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this fourth day, October 2015, at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in the city of Woodland Hills, California, that this organization express its profound appreciation for the work of the volunteers at the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention.
We have a motion. All those in favor of this outstanding resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Let's hear it for the volunteers. All those opposed are willing to be taken out and quartered and tarred and feathered, say no. All right, thank you. Okay. Okay. Last one.
Last one. Okay. Whereas the hard work of the Hilton Woodland Hills Hotel staff helped to make the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention an unbridled success, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this fourth day of October 2015 at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in the city of Woodland Hills, California, to thank and commend the Hilton Woodland Hills staff for their outstanding efforts.
All right. There's a motion for passage and for adoption of this resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Again, these folks have done a great job helping us out around the hotel, giving you the information you needed. Yep, excellent. Okay, we have concluded the Resolutions Committee report.
Yay.
I want to thank Robert. You want to thank the other folks that assisted you?
Absolutely. I can't remember everybody's name. But in lieu of my memory, I would like to thank everybody, members and non-members, who came in and helped us get through these few resolutions. It was very helpful. And, you know, this is unseen work, but it is done in the dark, actually. So I would like to thank everybody.
And before I entertain a motion, I want to thank Robert for stepping up to the plate.
Yes.
At sort of the last minute, last hour, and taking things on. So I want to, yep. All right. Is there a motion to accept the Resolutions Committee report? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion is carried. The report is accepted. And now we've given a test to our new secretary to see how well she can figure out what we did with that resolution. Okay.